Well, take your Bibles back out as we turn this time towards the preaching of God's Word and turn to Genesis chapter 45. And as you see, the text is covering 45 and 46. Now, just so you guys don't have a stroke here at the beginning, I'm not planning to try to go through all those verses today. And everybody said, Amen. I knew I needed to get that out of the way up front. But we are going to cover 45, most of 45, the rest of 45 today. As you see, the title is God Almighty, Happiness Delivered. Just to remind you where we've come from God Almighty, His dominion, God Almighty, humane devotion, God Almighty, a harsh devotion, God Almighty, a holy direction, God Almighty, help delivered, and God Almighty, hope dawns. And now we're at the point in the narrative where God delivers happiness. And what a wonderful message to preach to God's people. It really is. Our main lesson that we're carrying with us is that God Almighty is working His wonderful, sovereign will through the everyday events of life. So who is our God? El Shaddai, God Almighty. Who is our God? God Almighty. God Almighty. Pastor Henry Ward Beecher was known for his abounding thankfulness to God. He once explained the difference between a grateful and an ungrateful heart with these words, quote, "If one should give me a dish of sand and tell me there were particles of iron in it, I might look for it with my eyes and search for them with my clumsy fingers, but be unable to detect them. But let me take a magnet and sweep through it, and how it would draw to itself the almost invisible iron particles by the mere power of attraction. The unthankful heart, like my fingers in the sand, discover no mercies. But the thankful heart sweep through the day, and as the magnet finds the iron, so it will find in every hour some heavenly blessings. Only the iron in God's sand is gold." End quote. For many years of his life, Jacob was hard hit with the sovereign hand of God. And y'all know, the hard hand of sovereign God. Gratitude, happiness, and joy were far from his seemingly dead heart. But today we meet a different Jacob. Happiness has returned to his dead heart. And we're going to see bursts of joy and thankfulness come back to him. For the sovereign hand of God is about to bring him and his favored son back together again. Jacob's happiness cannot be restrained. Just as God delivered harshness, God now delivers happiness. God delivers both of those things in the lives of his people. And as we are, Jacob, as Jacob was, so are we. When he delivers his soft touch to us, a lot of times happiness cannot be restrained. And so we're going to see some unadulterated happiness from Jacob and something that he hasn't had in a long, long time. Just as God providentially and invisibly and abruptly turned Jacob's world upside down, some two decades plus later, God providentially, invisibly, abruptly turns Jacob's world right side up. It's so true. The scriptures tell us that God forms the light and creates darkness. He makes well-being and he creates calamity. He does all of these things. That's what he says of himself. And so here, in our text before us today, he reveals to us how just as abruptly things can turn bad, they can turn into a good situation. And so we see Jacob's happiness return. Now, here's the thing. Back in Genesis 27 or 37, when we began studying the generations of Jacob, as we all know, God revealed his perfect will to Jacob through Joseph's two dreams. That was the word of God. That was God's plan for Joseph and Jacob's life. And I wonder, and I don't want to be too hard on Jacob here because I would probably have reacted the same way as he did. But instead of not trusting the Word of God, but trusting the Word of God, would he have been a whole lot less unhappy? Right? If he had only trusted the Word of God. How about for you? How about for me? If we would just trust in the promises of God, don't you think we'd be a whole lot less unhappy? Trust in the words of God all the time. And like those filings of iron in the sand, we'll be magnets to the joys that God can give us each and every day, all of his blessings. Well, there are four things that we see here, how God Almighty delivers happiness to the generations of Jacob. And this morning, I just want to point out two of those things to you, how God delivers happiness to the generations of Jacob. Now, do you guys like being happy? I would think so. And in a true sense, I believe this text answers somewhat, why do bad things happen to God's people? And on the other hand, why do good things happen to God's people? And who is behind it all, if not for the invisible hand of God? God brings darkness, he brings light into our lives. And if Jacob would have just trusted his word a little bit more, maybe he could have seen that in some future day, God would restore his relationship with Joseph. Just maybe. Well, the first thing we see here, the first point, is that God delivers happiness through reconciliation. Now, let me read these verses to you one more time. Beginning in verse 16 of Genesis 45, follow along with me in your Bibles. When the report was heard in Pharaoh's house, Joseph's brothers have come, it pleased Pharaoh and his servants. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, do this, load your beasts and go back to the land of Canaan and take your father and your households and come to me, and I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land. And you, Joseph, are commanded to say, do this, take wagons from the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Have no concern for your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. Verse 21. The sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the command of Pharaoh and gave them provisions for the journey. To each and all of them he gave clothes, a change of clothes, but to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 changes of clothes. To his father he sent as follows, 10 donkeys loaded with the good things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and provision for his father on the journey. Verse 24, then he sent his brothers away, and as they departed, he said to them, do not quarrel on the way. What an odd thing to say. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning as pilgrims on our journey home. And it's so good to know that you are in charge of the path, that you are in control and have dominion over all things, that you guard our way, that you guide us on the way, that what does come into our lives that is hard and harsh is all a part of your work in our lives. And what good and happiness comes into our lives is also all ordained by you and a part of your sovereign plan for our lives. And we give you praise for both. For both are needed to become the people you want us to become. Both are needed so that we can learn more and more about you. And so, Father, we give you praise. We thank you for the hard times, yes, Lord, and we thank you, Father, for the good times. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the reason why there could be reconciliation taking place in this dysfunctional family between these brothers is because of the dominion of God over all things. You've got to see that first and foremost. It is the dominion of God that's directing the affairs of their lives. The moments and times, the places in space where they would come together and be together, and when they would come together and when they would be together. And how do you know that, Pastor? Well, let me recall your attention to look back at Genesis chapter 45 at verses 4 through 5, and you'll see what I'm talking about here. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near, and he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life." So it is the dominion of God over all things that brings these brothers to a point of reconciliation in their relationship. It is God orchestrating all the things around them that they could come together at this time when their hearts would be just right to reconcile with one another. Not too soon, not too late, but right on time. So God had brought these brothers to this place of reconciliation where they could get over past differences. And these were no small differences, church family. I mean, have you ever had a sibling beat you up, stick you in a hole, and then sell you into slavery? Have you? I mean, that's not an easy thing to get over, and I'm not making light of it. And what I'm showing you is that a God of all dominion, who has dominion over even the hearts and minds of man, is able to bring such people back together again and reconcile them one to another. And it is revealing to us in this narrative that it is the nature of God, because it is the nature of God to be compassionate towards people who offend Him. It is the nature of God that He is a reconciling God to people who break His law. And so it is natural that God's people would also be a people of compassion and those who can reconcile with people who offend them as well. So this is the very nature of God being revealed to us, that He is a God who is willing to forgive and to show compassion to those who have sinned against Him. Likewise, it is God who, through His dominion, has brought about the very circumstances that these brothers could be reconciled. It is amazing that He could use a pagan king such as Pharaoh as an instrument of reconciliation in this family. Truly, it is God who is in charge of even Pharaoh. That Pharaoh is merely just His man that He uses to perform His sovereign will to bring this family back together again. So what I'm pointing out to you is is God can even use the devil to bring people back together. And so it's just so revealing to us how God's dominion is over everything. Now, did you notice the gifts that Joseph gave to his brothers and his father? Did you notice them? There were wagons of provisions given for the trip. And there was clothing. The Bible says in verse 22, "To each and all of them He gave a change of clothes. But to Benjamin, He gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 changes of clothes." Now, you take these brothers back 20 plus years ago, and they would not have liked that. They would possibly have been jealous of Benjamin as well as they were jealous of Joseph. But here we see no jealousy, no anger at the extraordinary gift given to Benjamin. Truly, their hearts are ready for reconciliation here at this point in their lives. These articles of clothing show Joseph's overabundant affection for his little brother Benjamin. And yet the brothers were not jealous. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 23, I want to bring your attention back to that verse. I'm not going to read it to you, but But what it tells us is that Joseph was stripped of his robe of many colors. But here, at this point in their lives, Joseph gives his brothers clothing, which is a stark contrast here. The brothers strip him of his clothing, and yet here he gives them clothing. Truly, a theme of reconciliation here. Dr. Sarna writes, "Since an article of apparel had featured prominently in the table of hostility between Joseph and his brothers, it is only fitting that their reconciliation should be marked by a gift of apparel, clothing, a sign of reconciliation. And notice that he gave Benjamin the higher status among the brothers with the 300 shekels of silver and the 5 sets of clothing. And his brothers didn't flinch. They really didn't care. A true sign that their minds of jealousy and their viciousness has been changed. And who did that? Who did that? You know, God did that. God changed their hearts. And I'm telling you, if God can change the heart of Joseph's wicked brothers, He can change the heart of any wicked person today. Amen? Amen. So God has brought them to a place of hopeful happiness, a place of reconciling one to another. Verse 24 reveals Joseph's parting words to his brothers, words of reconciliation. And he says to them, "Do not quarrel on the way." You know, it's as if Joseph had never skipped a beat of being with his brothers. He knew them so well, didn't he? Even after being separated for all those years, he still knew his brothers. And what words of wisdom to say to these men, "Do not quarrel on your way home." It's as if he's saying, no need to bicker, boys. No need to bicker. The past is the past. No need to wrangle with those past emotions of guilt and bitterness and resentment. Just be happy. Don't quarrel on the way. Be happy. All is well now. God has brought about restful reconciliation between their past sinful deeds and their current place of prosperity and unity. It's as if Joseph is saying to them, don't mention the past. You all have been forgiven. And we know that without forgiveness, there is not reconciliation. And who gave Joseph a heart of forgiveness? God. Brothers, you didn't send me here. God sent me here. He sent me here to save your life and the lives of many others. How could I be resentful towards you? And so it's as if he's saying, boys, don't quarrel on the way home. I'm good. You're good. We're all good. Let's just be happy. What a wonderful work of the invisible providential hand of God in the midst of this dysfunctional, sinful family. Amen? Amen. And I'm so thankful that He can still do the very same thing in our lives today. For just as God has forgiven each one of us and reconciled them to Himself through Christ Jesus, we too have been given a ministry of reconciliation, the Bible says. And because we have been forgiven, we must also forgive those who may rub us wrong or may look at us wrong or may pull out in front of us or whatever. Is there someone in your family that you need to be reconciled to? Is there someone in your family? And my prayer is that if there is, that there'll come a point when your paths providentially cross and there is forgiveness and reconciliation among you. Is there someone in your church family that you need to be reconciled to? The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning of verse 18, and this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So not only are we to be reconciled one to another in the family of God, but we are to tell others about the reconciling work God does through Christ Jesus. We are to be those who proclaim the gospel of reconciliation, that God can reconcile a sinner to Himself through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And they too can become ministers of reconciliation. And so, we are truly given freedom to be happy when there is forgiveness and reconciliation. There's nothing more freeing than that, to be happy. And so, God has delivered this happiness to this family through their reconciliation. And it is God who did that. Amen? And God can do it today. A childhood accident caused poet Elizabeth Barrett to lead a life of semi-invalidism before she married Robert Browning in 1846. In her youth, Elizabeth had been watched over by her tyrannical father. And so when she and Robert were married, their wedding was held in secret because her father disapproved of them being married. After the wedding, the Brownings sailed to Italy, where they lived for the rest of their lives. But even there, Elizabeth tried to reconcile with her parents. She wrote them hundreds of letters so that they could be reconciled. She wrote almost weekly those letters to her parents. And after 10 years, she received a rather large box in the mail. And wouldn't you know it, inside Elizabeth found all of those letters, not a single one of them opened. Today, those letters are among the most beautiful and classical English literature. Had her parents only read a few of those letters, just maybe the relationship could have been reconciled and restored. Now, can you imagine the unhappiness that her parents and she must have felt over a lifetime of being separated? I can't imagine not talking to my kids. It'd be horrible. It would. It may not be bad for them, but it would be horrible to me. Can you imagine, though, on the other hand, the joy and the happiness that they would have experienced if only they would have opened those letters and been reconciled? God has given each one of us a ministry of reconciliation. We're not meant to be at odds with one another. Just as God has forgiven us, so we are to forgive others and be reconciled to them. Let me give you just a little story of reconciliation. You may recognize these names. And this is from an unknown source. The Civil War was one of the bloodiest, awfulest wars America has ever experienced. As you know, Jefferson Davis led the Confederacy, and Ulysses S. Grant led the Union. After they both had died, their widows, Verena Davis and Julia Grant, settled near each other and became the very best of friends. Reconciliation. That's what it's all about. The Bible says this: let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. God delivers happiness through reconciliation. Amen. Amen. Secondly, what we see here is that God delivers happiness through revival. Look at verses 25 through 28 with me. So they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to their father Jacob, and they told him, Joseph is still alive, and he is ruler over all the land of Egypt. And his heart became numb. I wonder if it stopped for a moment. Numb, right? I wonder if it stopped for a moment. For he did not believe them. He did not believe them. But when they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said to them, and when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of their father Jacob, here's the word, did what? Revived. Revived. And Israel said, that is Jacob, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. Could Jacob ever be happy again? After so many years of heartfelt loss, after just wanting to die and go to Sheol, could his heart ever be revived? Is there anything that God could ever do that could bring happiness back to this man's life? And the answer is what? Absolutely, yes, there was. Because of the dominion of God over the circumstances of life, even over the very heart of man, God could bring happiness to this man who had a numb heart. Reconciled with Joseph, something that they never would have dreamed of happening, the brothers leave Egypt for home. They were full of happiness and they were full of goods, and they all had an extra step in their get along. But here's what they had to do. They had to tell Father Jacob everything. Right? Everything. They had to come clean. Lies and all. Would he believe them? Would you have believed them? I don't know if I would have not. Would have or not. Would he believe them? That they were finally telling the truth to him? And so as we see from the text, from God's Word, reluctantly, Jacob receives the truth. Notice Jacob's reaction here in verse 26 to the almost unbelievable news. Joseph is alive and rules over Egypt, and his heart became numb. If that was no lie, it was one whopper of a lie, right? One whopper of a lie. His heart became numb, for he did not believe them. That is, until he saw the proof that they had brought back with them, 20 camels worth of goods. When he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of the father Jacob revived, verse 27 tells us. So Jacob goes from numb disbelief to complete revival in a matter of seconds. Isn't it amazing what God can do in your heart in just a matter of seconds? Remember, he can bring calamity, and he can also bring the light. He can also bring happiness, just in a matter of seconds. And so in jubilant victory, Jacob swells with happiness and declares, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die." Only God could transform a heart that quickly. This is God's work of transformation, and truly revival has taken place in the heart of Jacob. As Dr. Longman points out, God's saving providence lies behind all the events of Jacob's life. So God brought unhappiness to them, and now God is bringing happiness to them. He revives his heart. The despair is gone, and he's happy. He could be walking on cloud nine. Amen? That's the kind of God we serve. God revived Jacob. Chrysostom explains it this way. Just as the light of the lamp, when the supply of oil runs out and the light is on the point of going out, suddenly emits a brighter flame when someone puts in a little oil, in just the same way this old man, on the point of expiring from disappointment, next learned that Joseph was alive and was in charge of Egypt. From being old, Jacob became young. He put aside the cloud of disappointment. He repelled the storm in his mind and then found himself at peace with God, disposing everything so that the good man should enjoy relief from all these awful trials and share the happiness of his son. Couldn't explain it any better. Perhaps thinking of those two dreams now that Joseph had back in chapter 37, now he understands more fully God's grand design for his life. God has the big picture, church family. We have only snapshots. And just as God can bring calamity into our life, he can bring prosperity. Just as he quickly can bring the darkness into our life, he can shed light in our life. And he tends to do both in his grand design. In his grand design. As Jacob's heart was revived, he became a happy man once again. Who did that? God did that. In Wells, in 1904, 27-year-old Evan Roberts was burdened to pray fervently for 100,000 souls to come to Christ. Soon the flame of revival burned into the hearts of hundreds of tough-minded coal miners, as the story goes. They threw down their picks, and soon revival spread across Great Britain. And this sovereign move of God to bring revival to these dead souls became known as the Welsh Revival. And it was calculated that 100,000 people made a profession of faith in Christ Jesus. A news reporter interviewed a policeman in London as to where the Welsh Revival could be found. The policeman placed his hand over his heart and replied, quote, "The Welsh Revival is inside this uniform. Revival begins with what resides inside our heart." End quote. Inside the heart of Jacob, God planted the seeds of happiness once again at the news that Joseph was alive, and it revived Jacob. You see, God has dominion over the heart of people, and He can bring His God-besotted happiness to our lives at any moment. In His sovereign plan, He can bring that to us. So as you consider the ups and downs in your life, always remember that God means them for good. God means them for good. And knowing that truth should bring a platform of stability and optimism and happiness. Remember what Paul wrote in Romans 8:28, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." And so that is how God works to bring happiness in our lives. So we see two things here, how God Almighty delivered happiness in the generation of Jacob. First, God delivers happiness through reconciliation. And then secondly, God delivers happiness through revival. And these are complete works of God. God Almighty is working His wonderful sovereign will through the everyday events of life. That's our God, and that's how He works. Let me close with this quote. Pastor Hughes writes these words. Listen to them. "It was God who informed Joseph's heart as to the ultimate good that would triumph over his brother's evil deeds. And it was God who gave him the grace to forgive. Without forgiveness, there never would have been reconciliation, regardless of his brother's repentance. Today, on this side of the cross, we can be reconciled with God because Christ forgives all who come to Him in faith and repentance." End quote. And so I must ask you this morning, have you been reconciled to God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ? Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ and repented of your sins so that you could come out from under the wrath of God and be revived by God and reconciled to Him to live for His glory and for your good? Let me ask it this way. Do you know Jesus Christ in a personal saving way? For that is the only way that you'll ever be reconciled to God. I hope that you do. If you're in doubt of that, let's talk. If you have been reconciled to God, can I hear a hallelujah? Hallelujah. And let's give Him glory, and then let's be ministers of reconciliation to those who haven't. Amen? Well, that's where I'm going to close this morning. We have a couple more points here for this happiness delivered sermon, but you'll have to come back next Sunday to hear them. All right? Now, I expect to see each and every one of you in the same place next Sunday for the rest of the sermon series on God Almighty delivers happiness.